stuff. Actually, that song we sang, The Highlands, it talks about this is my song of ascent. And so one of these psalms that we'll be reading out of, Psalm 127, is a song of ascent. And so we'll be kind of hitting on all those themes today. But we're going to go to two places, Psalm 90 and Psalm 127. And you can go ahead and start turning there. Just kind of mark those places, and we'll get there in just a little bit. Now, the NBA, anybody know what the NBA is? National Basketball Association, right? The NBA has a device called the shot clock. And the shot clock is set at 24 seconds. 24 seconds when a ball is inbounded to a team and they take possession of that ball. They have 24 seconds to attempt to score. They have to take a shot. It has to hit something, right? Can't be an air ball. It has to hit something. And then that shot clock resets. And if they don't take a shot in that time, it's a turnover. And so the NFL, conversely, they have something called the play clock. And the play clock works in a similar fashion, that they take 40 seconds and put it on the clock. And the quarterback has 40 seconds to get the play, to disseminate that play to the guys in the huddle. They have to break that huddle, get down on the line, get set, and snap that ball within that 40-second time limit, or else it's a penalty. It's a five-yard penalty for delay of game. And so these things, when you think about the shot clock and the play clock, we are on our own kind of shot clocks and play clocks. We live our lives in this way where we are frantically sometimes trying to get the play off, right? Anybody ever seen the quarterback and he's trying to get everybody lined up and they're trying to, and sometimes I look at that, I think that's us, right? Where we're frantically trying to get our life together to get things done in the time that we needed to get it done. Anybody, you feel pressed for time? Like this morning, like when just trying to get to church, right? Trying to get your hair combed, get the kids in the car. You spill coffee on your shirt. Now you're having to go change your shirt or either just get a bigger jacket and cover it up. I don't know what you do, but those are the frantic moments, right? Trying to get out the door in the morning. What does that look like? And so we get that. And we live our life in such a way where there are things that sometimes get lined up. We're like, man, I don't know if I'm going to have enough time. And we talk about time like we talk about money. Because we talk about time in the sense that we need to save time, right? I need to save time. If I do this, I'm going to save some time, right? I need to invest some time, right? I need to spend some time. So it's interesting how we talk about that. But what's interesting is when you can work more and maybe make more money, you know what you can't make more of? Time. You're only given so much time. You're only given so much on the clock. And we are on a clock in a lot of senses. Scripture that we're going to look at today, it is going to remind us of that. But yeah, what happens, and this is the question I have for you that we're going to start with today. What happens when you run out of clock? What happens when you run out of time? What happens in those moments when you feel like, man, I didn't get it all done? What happens when you live your life with no margin? Because that's what we've been talking about. The blank spaces that we need to create and the margin that we need to have in our lives and our schedules and our finances and our relationships, but sometimes we don't, and we run right up to the edge. And it would be like me preaching this entire message standing right here on the edge of this, and some of y'all are like, please back up. You're making me nervous, right? I'm making me nervous, okay? But you think about it. That's how we live our life, right up on the edge, and we make decisions that go right up to the edge, and we live our life that way. And sometimes there's no time left on the play clock, and there's no breathing room for us. And we talked about that last week, the breathing room that we need in our life. And so good news is this: God didn't design you that way, okay? God did not design you to live your life without margin. He didn't design you to live your life without blank space. He did not design you to live your life without any breathing room. Actually, He created us and designed us and shaped us for our life to have rhythm, right? How many of you guys got rhythm? So we're all like, this is a trick question. Is He going to ask me to dance, right? Now, I'm not going to ask you to dance because I've seen some of y'all dance and you don't have any rhythm, okay? Right? I've seen some of y'all clap, and you're just offbeat, and you don't have, okay. I watch my wife when she's clapping. That's when I'm clapping, okay? Some of us, we're rhythm challenged, okay? But in a different sense, God has created us with rhythm. He has created our life to have rhythm, to be sustained by rhythm, and to work and thrive in a rhythm. So what does that look like? What is this design that God has built for us to build? He built our life in a rhythm to have a rhythm of space, a rhythm of rest, and a rhythm of trust. And that's what we want to talk about today. Now, there's a tension that we live in, and the tension that we live in is this, and kind of, addressed this a little bit last week, but I want to go a little bit deeper with this. Some of us, we feel guilty when we rest. Yeah, I wasn't asking for that, but I am now. How many of you feel guilty when you rest? Right? You feel, I should be doing something, right? My wife, she's like that. She's like, we gotta get up and clean something. I'm like, no, we don't. We really don't, right? You don't work for me and I don't work for you, and we could just make a decision to say, hey, let's not, okay? Some of us, we feel guilty when we rest. It's like we aren't being productive enough. The other half of us, we feel guilty because we're exhausted and there's nothing left to give, right? I've expended myself. I've given everything that I've got, and there's nothing else for me to give out. And so this first group, they feel guilty because they feel like unproductive rest. They've internalized this thing in our culture, tells us that we're only valuable and worth something if we produce an outcome. That's what our culture tells us. And if you don't produce some kind of outcome, if you don't produce some kind of product or do something, right, there's no value in you. And that's what our culture tells us. But Scripture tells us the opposite. Actually, Scripture says that there's value in us simply because we bear the image of God. And because we bear the image of God, we're immensely valuable, but culture tells us something different. And so this is why we have this tension. And the second group, they're feeling guilty because they're on the hamster wheel and they can't get off the hamster wheel. They're running, and they just want to get off, and they can't get off the hamster wheel. And so the tension, we can characterize it like this. In this question, how do we say yes to what matters most without saying yes to everything that seems to matter? Does that make sense? How do we say yes to what matters most without saying yes to everything that seems to matter? I mean, it's not like it's not important. Maybe it is important, but does it matter right now? Does it the most important thing in my life? And this is the tension that we live in when we're asking and we're kind of trying to figure out what do I do with all this? And we make a few mistakes. There's a couple mistakes that we make when we try to live our life, against this tension. And the mistakes we make are this. The first mistake is some of us, we try to do everything faster. How many of you guys, that's your answer? I can do this faster. I can do it all. I just need to do it all faster, and then I can get it all done, and I can get everything in if I only did it faster, right? But the problem with that is that, even though you may have better systems, you may have an app, right? You may have, I got this app, nice shiny app. It's going to help me get in shape. It's going to help me, categorize my emails. It's going to help me whatever life-changing thing this app is going to do and promises you. We put a lot of stock in that, and we think, if I could just optimize my life, if I can have some kind of life hack, a productivity hack, I can get it all done, and I can get it done faster, right? The problem with that is that you can perfectly execute wrong priorities. That's the problem. The problem is that even though, I'm getting it done, I'm kind of checking things off the list, you may not be doing the right things or doing them in the right order. And so that's a problem. That's the first mistake we make. The second mistake we make is this, is not only if we're not trying to do it faster, maybe we try to do everything equally. And the way this looks is, I'm going to give equal parts of myself to my work, and I'm going to give equal parts of myself to my family life. I'm going to try to give everything an equal share so that nothing gets missed and nothing gets lost. The problem with that is this, is if you make everything a priority, nothing is a priority. Because you've spread it all out. And there's not going to be anything good that you're doing. Because everything is just going to be kind of what my boys call mid, okay? And so so we try to do everything equally. This equal distribution assumes that all responsibilities are created equal, and they are not. But the real problem isn't how we manage time. The real problem is this, is that it's what we determine what deserves our time. That's the problem. When I look and I can see, I say, you know, what really needs to get my time? What really needs to get my attention? There are some things that don't need my attention. But in the back of my mind, you know, if I'm checking boxes, how many of you like to check all the boxes? You know, if you're note takers, and this, I know Raina has told me this. She's like, if I give out a sheet of paper on Wednesday night for our Bible study, and, you know, I give them fill in the blanks, she wants to know what every fill in the blank is, right? How many of you guys are like that? Don't give me a fill in the blank, and then don't fill that blank in, okay? If you give me a fill in the blank, I want to know what the blank space is, okay? And so sometimes we're like that. We feel like we have to fill in all the blanks. We have to check all the boxes. But sometimes there may be things, it's just like, do I really need to worry about that box? Do I really need to worry about putting so much attention on this blank space, this box, this thing right here, because there may be something else that I need to pay attention to, but this is getting all my time, and this is getting all my attention, and things just, they don't equal out. See, our culture wants to put us on a shot clock, but God has given us a Sabbath. That's the difference. Where our culture says, hey, you got to get it done. Come on, come on, come on. Produce. Go, 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 go. God says, stop it. Stop it. There's a whole commandment. That's, did you realize that? There's a commandment. Commandment number 5. So stop it, right? It doesn't say stop. It says, that was my version. It says, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, right? Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And you say, well, that's talking about, you know, Sunday. You got to honor Sunday. Well, you know what that is? That's not really what that means. When you get down to it, there is margin that God knows we need in our life, and there's space that He knows that we need to create in our life to stop, to pause, so that we can recharge and we can become really who we need to be. But if we're not doing that, we'll never be who we need to be. We'll always be on that shot clock. We'll always feel frantic. We'll always feel like, I've got to do this. I've got to get this done before time runs out. And you're not wrong. Time is running out, but probably not how you think it is. The time that's running out is the time that we actually don't think about, right? It's like when my dad called me up one day, and he's like, I think I'm like 27. Me and Raina had only been married maybe 2 or 3 years. And he's like, son, me and your mom are buying grave plots. Do you want to get in on this? Dad, I do not want to get in on this, right? Ever, right? I want the rapture to take place. I want to go like that, okay? You know, but really, I mean, and the closer I get, you know, to being a certain stage of life, right? Those are thoughts that are much more frequent in my mind, right? Because there is a shot clock, honestly. And that's the clock that we ignore, and we stay focused on these other clocks that stress us out. So what does Scripture say about this? That's really what I want us to go to today. What does the Bible say about this? And obviously, we're not the first people to ask this question. People have been asking this question for a very long time because people have faced this tension. And so I want us to look at God's Word, what it says about living with both priority and peace. Because I believe that we can do both. I believe that we can live with both priority and we can live with peace. Psalm 90:12. It's one of my favorite ones. And if you've been here for any amount of time, you've probably heard me talk about this. I actually talked about this yesterday. I did a funeral for one of our elders here, Richard Bowers. I love that man. And I use this scripture in his funeral message. But this is what it says. This is actually, you think that David wrote all the Psalms? He did not. Actually, Moses wrote this psalm, which is kind of cool. And so Psalm 90:12, it says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, right? And what does God want you to do? He wants you to be able to number your days so you can do what? So I can be more productive. So I can get more done. So really I can check all the boxes. Is that what it said? No, it doesn't. It says, teach me to number my days so that I can gain a heart of wisdom. So what God really wants from me is not so much that I'm trying to check all the boxes and get all the stuff done. He wants me to have wisdom about what I need to get done, right? And there's a huge difference here from what our culture wants from us for what God wants from us. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. And this is what it says. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late and toil for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. And I think what we get at here is this, is like there are a lot of things in your life that you can do. How many of them are you inviting God to help direct what goes on, right? Are you inviting God to help direct the decisions that you make in your life, the choices that you step into, the things that you give yourself to, the places where you allow your time to be eaten up? Are you asking God in those moments, saying, God, you know, is this something that you're going to bless? Is this something you want to bless? Is this something I need to be doing even at all? Because sometimes we don't do that. We just jump right in because, woo, that looks great. I want a part of that, right? I want to get some of that right there. Whatever that is, get me in. If it's an investment, what is that? What is that is pulling on your time, pulling on your finances? But this scripture right here says, unless the Lord builds the house, you know, whatever you do, unless God's in the middle of it, you're working in vain. It's like sideways motion. It's just energy that you're dispensing, and you're not moving any farther to the goal that you really think you are. So what does Psalm 90 teach us? Two things that we find here. Psalm 90 teaches us to prioritize, right? When Moses says, hey, God, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What this is saying is, hey, prioritize. Your days are numbered, so choose wisely. You realize that? Your days are numbered. How many of you would love to have... There was a thing I found several years ago. It was called the death clock. And, yeah, don't go to it. It's horrible. All right? But the death clock. I went to the death clock, and it says, put in some information. It'll tell you when you're going to die. So I put it in, and then I firmly deleted that website from because I didn't want to know, right? Those are horrible things. Would you want to know that? Would you want to know, have this clock that is just ticking, that you know exactly when that's going to happen? But Scripture is saying here, it says, hey, teach me to number my days so that I may gain a heart of wisdom, so I can prioritize. I need to be able to number my days so I can choose wisely because I'm only given so much time. I'm only given so much energy. I'm only given so much, and then after that's gone, that's it. That's it. I don't get more. It's not like money where maybe I can earn some more. Time is a limited commodity, right? Some things matter more than others. That's what Psalm 90 is saying. He said, number your days correctly so that you can live them wisely. Psalm 127, what does it teach us? If Psalm 90 is saying, hey, prioritize, what is Psalm 127 saying to us? It's saying, hey, you can find peace in the midst of what you're doing. You don't have to work in anxiety. You don't have to work and live in chaos and stress all the time. It says, be careful that your choices, because they don't have to come with anxious striving. That's what that psalm is telling us. It's saying, listen, whatever you do, unless God is in it, you're going to work yourself into a frenzy. So invite God to be part of your decision-making and your daily walk. And when you begin to say, is this something that I need in my life? It'll look different. It'll look more like what God's Word wants it to look like and less like our culture on that frenzied shot clock of can I get it all done? Can I get it all in? So what's the solution? The solution is this, and this is what our culture doesn't understand, is that this passage is saying margin is not wasted time, it's wisdom. It's not wasted time, it's wisdom. And sometimes we're always asking the question, and this was something that somebody said to me several years ago. Said the best question ever. The best question ever is not is it right or wrong, but is it the wise thing to do? That is a better question than is this right or wrong? Because the reason is this, is there are a lot of things that aren't technically wrong. Right? There are a lot of things that I can do that's not wrong, but it's not wise. And I'll be honest with you, this message here is very convicting for me. Over the last 2 weeks, I've been stretched with my time. There are things that I've wanted to do that I couldn't do. And there are things that I've really had to say no to over this last couple weeks because there are things that were more important for me to do in that moment. And that's been difficult because my temptation was this. I want to do it all. I want to be at everything, right? It's like some of you guys signed up for 14 life groups. Right? Yes, I love them all. Can I be in all? I want to paint. I want to decorate. I want to be in Bible studies. Right? And I did. That was kind of me this week. I wanted to be in a lot of different places. And I'm hearing from these guys. It's like, man, the men's fire Friday night. It was amazing. Right? And that was one of those things I wanted to be at. But I knew there were some other things I needed to do. That wasn't bad. You know, being at that men's group would have been a good thing. Right? And so the question is not, is this right or wrong? Is this good or bad? The question is this wise? Is this the wise choice for me to make? Because when we start living with wisdom, then we're able to see that when I create margin, it's not wasted time. This is me living in wisdom. And so we can live by this principle here. It says, when you understand that your days are numbered and that God is the one building what matters most, then you create margin, not because you're lazy, but because you're wise. That's the principle that we can live by. We can say, hey, I'm not being lazy here. God has a rhythm for my life, and this is what wisdom looks like. This is not laziness. And this is what setting priorities looks like, and this is what living in trust, because I'm offering my life to God, and I'm saying, hey, these are the things that I have on the agenda. Which one should I go to? What's the wise choice to make here, right? And it's living in a different way. It's being able to say when you're numbering your days, what you're doing is you're being selective. Where do I need to be more selective? Where do I need to say yes and where do I need to say no? Where do I need to say a better yes? After the first service, somebody came to me and they said, really, Pastor Ryan, what you're talking about is saying a yes that's not diluted. And I said, yeah, that's it. That's it. So how many yeses can you give out? If you're only giving out yeses and you're never saying no, then all your yeses are like that. They're watered down. They're diluted. But don't you want to say a better yes? And to say the better yes or to say the best yes means for you sometimes to say a hard no. It means for you to say, nah, I'm not going to do that. Nah, and it's not bad, and it's not wrong. It's just not time. Or it's just not priority. There are other things that are more important. Although this matters, this over here, this matters more. Right? And that's what we have to do. When we are numbering our days, numbering your days makes you selective. You become more selective, not more frantic. That's the idea behind that. The second plays out like this. Trusting what God's building, when you're able to trust what God's building, it makes you restful. It makes you restful. When you can say, you know what? I ain't got to worry about that. How many of you, that's difficult for you to do? Yeah, there's more of you than that. Me too. It's difficult sometimes to say, I'm going to step back and I'm going to let God take care of this. There have been things, conversations, problems, and as pastor here, sometimes I feel like I got to jump into everybody's problem. I feel like sometimes somebody looks at me and I'm like, that's an invitation for me to jump into that problem right there. They're wanting me to step in. And what I'm having to learn is this, is like, don't do it. It's a trap, right? Don't do it. That's going to pull from you. Not every situation requires me to step into it. Not everything requires me. Some of these things I can look at and say, I'm going to let God deal with that one. Some of these I'm going to trust God to work that one out because that doesn't require me of my time, of my energy, of my resources because I only have so much. And I need to make sure that what I'm giving all that to is the most important and not just a diluted yes. And so, so when we put this together, and I want to wrap this up, and I want somebody to come play wherever they're at, right? two things that I want you to do. Two places I want you to create margin when we're talking about this. First place is this. I want you to create margin in your days. What does that look like? And these are the questions. I want to give you some questions, and you can write these down or type these out or go to the Church Center app, look at the notes. You need to create margin in your days and start by asking this. God, what are you building today? God, what are you building or what do you want to build today into my life? If I give you this day, and if this is the only day that I have, God, what do you want to build into today for me? And then if you get to the end of that day and you can ask this question, where did I see you working? God, where did I see you working today? Where did I see you moving? And where did I see your fingerprints? And God, where did I see just the evidence of you blessing this, God? Because that's what I want to have wisdom to jump more into that. Because there may be things that aren't bad, but maybe that's not what you're blessing. Maybe that's not what you want me to spend my time on. And so where we need to create margin in the first place is this, in our days. And this isn't about just having longer prayer times, okay? It's really about us saying, hey, I want to align my efforts with God's work. Second one is this, in your decisions. In your days and in your decisions. Where do I need to create margin? In my days and in my decisions. And what does that mean? Before you say yes to anything new, maybe you're already committed. So before you say yes to anything new, you need to ask yourself, is this how I want to spend my numbered days? Put it like that. Maybe no. No, I don't want to spend my number of days. I only have so many days, and I definitely don't want to spend them doing this. Sometimes that becomes very clear. No, I don't want to spend my days doing that. And can you do this trusting God for the results, or will this make me anxious? Right? Maybe that's the question that you have to answer. Can I do this, and I can do it because I can trust God to work in it? Or if I do this, I make this decision to step into this, is it going to be chaos? Is it going to create anxiety for me? You know what? If so, nah, that's probably not for me. Because I have a hard time trusting God there, so that's probably not a place that I need. I want you to stand with me. So what we're doing is this, is that we're just asking you to create space for God to work in your life. Create margin in your days, in your decisions. Just bow your head. Lord, we thank you today for wisdom. We thank you today for truth. And we thank you, Lord, today that you meet us here with truth about priorities and about the peace that you want to bring into our life. And so maybe we've been frantic and maybe we've felt like we've just been running around. We're on the shot clock and we feel like we can't get it all done. And so maybe we can. Maybe we should. Maybe there are things that really we don't need to step in. So, Lord, as we just begin to submit all these decisions to you, we submit our days to you, and we know that we only have a certain number of days allotted to us, and we may not know what that is. I pray that we would do well with it. I pray that we would live in wisdom. Lord, that's what we invite now. We invite your wisdom this morning. Holy Spirit, come speak truth to us. Speak liberation to our anxious spirit. Our mind that is so wrapped up and confused and sometimes it's complex. Lord, help us to simplify that. Help us, Lord, to just begin to think with clarity. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come do every bit of that work this morning. Holy Spirit, come move in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing this song together, can we?
As we're singing and just singing about God's good plans, let's be asking him, you know, not only how do I want to spend my number of days, God, how do you want to?